Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to be going again to the Book of Acts today and talking about open doors and how the Holy Spirit and the Lord opens doors for ministry. And it's going to be an encouraging message for you who are waiting for the Lord to open doors, or for those of you who are reluctant and procrastinating. And I just want to encourage you to walk through the open doors, to pray for open doors, and that we could be about the Father's business and be about kingdom work in our life. And so we're going to take that message up. We're going to start in Acts, the 13th chapter, in verse 2. So you can open your Bible there, Acts 13, verse 2, and we'll start that up in just a minute, right after our prayer time. Father God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word that teaches and instructs and reproofs and rebukes us. And Lord, we just ask you to bless this message today. We ask you to bless each and every person out there today who is listening. Lord, deliver them and encourage them, strengthen them, break every chain off of their life. And we praise your name, Lord, for this provision for the radio broadcast. We pray for our country, for our leaders, for our president, for the Congress, the Supreme Court. And we just thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom to express your word and your will here on the radio today. We pray it all in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Acts, the 13th chapter, verse 2. And we start off by seeing that God is going to open up doors for Paul and Barnabas to go minister. And it says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, for the work to which I have called them. And then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. And verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they had arrived at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John with them as their assistant. And so I'm going to bring up several points here today as an encouragement to you and a message to you. For those of you, maybe you're a new believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're new in ministry and you're not sure about the will of God for your life. You're not sure which way God wants you to go. Maybe there's a lot of options for you, or maybe there's no options that you see at this point in time. And I want to encourage you just to step out and to look for the work of God and where He wants you to go. And as we consider the different points about the open doors of the Lord, I want you to know that God has you in mind. He has your will in mind. He spoke it over you from the beginning of time. Even before you were born, He spoke over you your destiny and your calling. And so I want to encourage you to look at that today in reference to your own life. Well, first of all, the first point I want to make is that the harvest is ripe. The opportunities that we have to bring people into the kingdom today, this day, the opportunities are greater than ever before, especially here in America, but in other places around the world, the opportunities are immense for people to be brought into the kingdom of God. And so I want you to see from God's point of view that the harvest is ripe, that the harvest is plentiful, that there are many, many. We are in a post-Christian era here in America. We've moved into a post-Christian society, and many people have no idea who Jesus Christ is. They have a concept of spirituality. They have a concept of God. Many people are searching for God, but they have no idea that the way to God is through Jesus Christ. And so I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that it is time for the harvest to be gathered in. We're now in the time here in western Kansas when the combines are in the field. I took a road trip yesterday and I saw combines start to go out into the field. And in northern Kansas, the first crops are being harvested. The first wheat crops are being harvested. And it's a beautiful sight to look out on the fields and see all the golden waves of grain, the heads of wheat are bowed down and drying down, and so the combines are out there moving into the field to bring into the harvest. And Jesus said in Matthew 9:37, as he was speaking to his disciples, "Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And isn't that so true? And sometimes in the physical, when the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. There's a shortage of labor many times. And so people have to work extra hours in the harvest. They work from 8 o'clock in the morning till sometimes midnight or 10 o'clock at night. And so it's very important when the harvest is ripe, when that wheat is ready in the natural, when that wheat is ready, to get out there in the field as quickly as possible, spend long hours in the field and labor to bring that harvest in, because you never know when a storm is going to come along, a hailstorm or a giant windstorm or rain, and that crop will start to deteriorate, that crop will start to go down in test weight and in quality. And so it's important when that harvest is ripe to get out there and get the harvest. And so it is in the spirit realm. When the harvest is ripe, then the doors open. When the harvest is ripe, then Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Therefore, pray of the Lord of the harvest, or to the Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into his harvest. And so we pray to you, Lord Jesus, today, that you would touch people, that somebody listening to this message today, we pray to you, Lord Jesus, that many people listening to this message today would feel a burden to go out and bring in the harvest, that the world would know about Jesus Christ, that those who are lost and perishing and those who are going to hell would know about Jesus Christ, that their sin would not take them to hell and not condemn them, because there is a covering, there is an offering that has been made for their sin. And so we just pray to the Lord of the harvest. We pray to you, Jesus Christ, that people listening here today to this message would feel a burden to go out and lay aside their mundane chores, lay aside the mundane details of their life, and make an effort to get out and bring in the harvest. And I just pray that someone would feel that burden today and make an effort to get out there and bring in the harvest along with those who are already committed to doing that. In John 4:35, Jesus says, "Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." And verse 36, Jesus says, "And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered in to their labor." And so Jesus says there is going to be reward, there is going to be wages, verse 36, "And he who reaps receives wages." There is a crown given to those who are soul winners. There is a crown given to those who have been faithful and righteous and persevered to the end. And so I pray, beloved, when you get to heaven, that you'll receive that soul winner's crown. I pray that you will look up and see the fields, just as a farmer, as he stands and he surveys his fields, and he gets in his truck in the morning and he goes and he looks at all his fields, and some are ready for harvest, some still have green wheat in them, and some may be past ready, and those are the fields that he wants to get to first, those that are ready and those heads are hanging down. He wants to get to those fields first so that no windstorm or no hailstorm can take those kernels out of the head. And so as he looks in the natural, so it is that we look in the spirit realm and we look out and we see the fields are ripe with harvest. And so, beloved, that is God's will, that you get involved in the harvest. That is God's will, that you lay aside the regular routines of your life, that you lay aside the mundane details of your life and put some time into the harvest, put some time into reaching out and asking the Lord, "Lord, where do you want me to go? Lord, what field do you want me to go to first, that I may go and help bring in the harvest? And so Jesus said, he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. And so you don't know, beloved, when you go out into the harvest field, you don't know who's been there to sow seeds. You don't know who's been there to help fertilize or to help water. You don't know what message has already been spoken to those people. And when I go to Africa, I know there's others that have sowed seeds into those people's lives. There's others that have gone before me to preach crusades and to preach revivals. And there's others who have done radio broadcasts and television broadcasts. And so I'm going to add fertilizer, and I'm going to add water, and I'm going to add my words that the Lord gives me, that the Holy Spirit gives me, to that which has already been labored. And so I will join in the labor of others. I will join in growing that crop and in harvesting that crop and turning that crop over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to know, beloved, that the harvest is ripe and it is ready. And if you join in the harvest, if you get out there and join in it, there is going to be a great blessing and a great reward for you. Well, secondly, the point I would like to make is that God is just looking for willing vessels. That's all he's looking for. You don't have to be especially equipped. If you have a testimony, if you have a love for Jesus Christ, and if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to have books of the Bible memorized. Yes, that's great if you do, and it's great if you have a lot of scripture memorized. I've been on the platform in Africa many times, and they don't even give you a podium to set your Bible down on many times. You just have to hold your Bible in your hand and work off of a couple of scriptures and just go with it and preach the word from memory to the best of your ability. But the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to go out and minister. Just as we looked at in Acts 13, verse 2, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul to the work for which I have called them." And so it's the work of the Holy Spirit to call people to ministry. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to convict people and to call them to ministry, to open doors for them that God wants you to walk through. And in Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and to take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And so you're going to have to make a sacrifice. You're going to have to make a choice. When God opens up a door for you, just as he did for Saul and Barnabas, it wasn't just automatic that they would go. Yes, it appears that way as we read the Bible here 2,000 years later. It appears that, you know, Saul was just automatic in his desire to go to the nations and to go up into Macedonia and to Greece and on to Rome and all of those places where he was the first to take the gospel message. It just appears as if it was automatic, but there was nothing automatic about it. Paul had to take the message with great persecution that he endured every step of the way. He endured wild beasts. He endured stonings. He endured shipwreck. He endured persecutions and hunger and day and night in the deep. He endured many things. And so it is with us when we go to the nations, when we go to share the gospel. Jesus said that you have to deny yourself and you have to take up your cross. And you have to follow him, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he will find it. And I can attest to that, brother and sister, if you go and you share the gospel message, if you walk through those open doors that the Holy Spirit has presented to you, if you walk through those open doors, you're going to be blessed, you're going to be fulfilled, you will find your life in a way that you've never found it before. You will have fulfillment in a way that you have never had it before in just doing your secular duties and whatever it is you're doing. Praise God for that. I assume that you're doing what God has called you to do in your secular life or in your ministry, but when God elevate you, and when He opens up doors for you and He prompts you through the Holy Spirit to go through those doors, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be fulfilled. You will find your life. You will find your life in losing that which you have selfishly desired for yourself, that which you have selfishly asked for yourself. You will lose all that, and you will find your life in giving in service, in bringing the harvest in, and giving in service to helping others know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so again, God is just looking for willing vessels. He equips those. You've probably heard that saying, but it is very true. He doesn't call the equipped, but He equips those that He calls. He will prepare you. He will prepare you as you go. And He will give you the words. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak as you go, as you minister. You don't need to be anxious about what words you will speak. He will prepare you. He's already prepared you. He will give you those words, and He will bless you, and you will have the right words at the right time to speak to those who are needing to hear the message. Well, in 2 Corinthians 2:5, Paul talks about how we are earthen vessels. He says, "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God be not of us." And so that is verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God may be of Him and not of us. And so Paul is saying we just become earthen vessels. We become something that God can fill. We become something that God can fill up with His word, and God can fill up with His blessing, and God can fill up with His strength and His power, and the power is of Him. We don't preach about ourselves, although it's okay to use ourselves as an example, as witness, as testimony, but it is not our power. It is not your power, beloved. You don't have to be afraid about having the power. When you are obedient, God gives you the power. When you are obedient, God gives you the anointing, and when you have the anointing, then you can go forward and you can preach that which God has given you to preach. And you can go forward with power, you can go forward with boldness, you can go forward with confidence, and you don't need to be shy, you don't need to be afraid, you don't need to let the devil whip you with doubt and with fear. Because God will give you the strength to preach with power, and it will be His power and not your own. Well, Matthew 19:28, Jesus said to the disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the generation when the Son of Man sits on the throne of His glory, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And verse 29, "And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, that is to say fields or farms, for My name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." And so Jesus said, when you leave your comfortable circumstances, and it doesn't mean you have to pick up and go to Africa, or you don't have to pick up and go to the Philippines. You may just have to go visit somebody in the jail, or you may just have to go visit somebody in the hospital, or you may just have to go down and volunteer at a food bank or at a soup kitchen or something. But leave your comfortable circumstances. Leave your comfort zone and your selfish desires for your own life. And you look for the harvest field, and then you go to that place where God has opened the door for you. I dare say that every single one of you listening to me today, every single one of you has something that the Holy Spirit has prompted you to do, has some place that the Holy Spirit has shown you to go or revealed to you. And you are putting it off, you are procrastinating, you are holding back. And the Holy Spirit is just saying to you today, the door is open for you to go, and I want you to go to this place because you are a chosen vessel of Mine, just as Paul was a chosen vessel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or at that time he was called Saul. He was a chosen vessel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I want to show him what he must suffer for my sake. And so the blessing of going forth, the blessing of going forth into the harvest field, Jesus said, when you go, everyone who has left their house or their brother or their children or their wife, and this isn't a commandment about go and divorce your wife or anything like that, it's just saying when you go and put the Lord's work ahead of your selfish desires with her or your selfish desires with your fields or with your brother or your sister, he says, for my name's sake, that you will receive a hundredfold blessing and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. So when you humble yourself, when you become a servant of the Lord, when you humble yourself and you seek those things which are on the Father's heart, and you seek those open doors, what the Father has opened for you, when you humble yourself and you seek those things, then the Lord will bless you with that hundredfold blessing, and the Lord will give you the strength and the power to walk into that blessing. Well, in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, this is the closed door and the open door. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit it. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so you see, Paul has come first to a couple of places, to Phrygia and Galatia, and they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word there. And then they came to Mysia, and they tried to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit did not permit them. So there was two closed doors there. And Paul, being a man of God and attuned to the Holy Spirit, he knew that it was not prudent. He knew that it was not wise to try to attempt to force his way into those places, to try to attempt to open a door that God had not opened. And so he was waiting on the Lord, and God sent him a vision, and God showed him that he was to go down to Macedonia. There was a man in the vision who was pleading with him and said, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we, that is Luke, who is the writer of Acts, and the others that were with Paul, they sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so they went to Macedonia. There was an open door there. When you listen to the Lord, when you listen to the Holy Spirit, and you are faithful and you are obedient to the Holy Spirit, God opens doors that no man can shut, and he shuts doors that no man can open. And when you go through those open doors, there will always be that blessing. There will always be that hundredfold blessing to do the work and to do the will of the Lord. Well, I'm going to close today, beloved, in Revelation 3, verse 8, speaking to the church at Philadelphia. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Well, beloved, Jesus Christ is the one that opens the doors. The Holy Spirit is the one that opens doors. The Lord God Almighty will give you the strength when those doors are open, and the Holy Spirit will minister to you and strengthen you and encourage you, and he will make a way for you where it doesn't seem there's a way. I know when the first time that I went to Africa, I had not even thought about going to Africa. It wasn't even on my radar, and God gave me a vision, a dream in the night that was so clear and so distinct. I knew without any shadow of a doubt without any uncertainty. This is where God wanted me to go. This is what He wanted me to do. And I knew that I would be blessed. And so I had a choice to make, to walk through that open door. And I chose to do that. And God has given me that hundredfold blessing. And He will do the very same for you. Well, we're going to have contact information here in just a minute. Stay tuned for that. I thank you for listening today. A new book has been published. It's called Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa. And I pray that you check into that. You can get it on Amazon.com. That's Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa. It's a series of stories of revivals and crusades of the last 5 years in Africa. And I pray you get that book and share it with your neighbors, share it with your friends, share it with your church. And I thank you for doing that. It will boost the ministry if you get that book. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.